They'll be back hosting the games sometime in late July or August if the plan remains the same by the National Hockey League. And Tom, I know for Edmonton to be a hub city, they might have to change the quarantine. So I'd ask our listeners, and everybody can text in on this one, but here's how I have it. Right now in Calgary, there's way more cases than we have. And really, Calgary in the south have had more cases in Alberta than Edmonton. That's fair. Mm-hmm. Right now, there's currently nothing stopping you from traveling from Calgary to come to Edmonton. Nothing. Now, they might recommend you don't do it, but it's not, you know, it's not an imposed stopping. So if players come into Edmonton and basically quarantine at the rink and at their hotel with each other, is the risk, and I may have to get a scientist on, does the risk seem like that significantly higher to infect Edmontonians if the players are there than it is Calgarians coming to Edmonton?
Gregor, I think it isn't a higher risk unless those players that might, you know, if there are one or two or some that are infected, let's say, because we're throwing out the hypothetical here, they would have to come into contact with people that are running around in the general public and spread it that way. So the theory and the way you laid that out, that scenario, I think is valid. And listen, you know, we don't want to see a spike in numbers here, and you want to play it as safe and smartly as possible. But to isolate, say, a large group that's coming here in the ICE district and keeping them contained with it in that area, and you minimize as much of the risk as possible, you know, to me, that sounds feasible. Now, I'm not a health expert. I'm not a medical officer. I'm not a doctor. I don't have degrees in this. I don't know this stuff. But if you were to lay it out in those terms to me, I would say, yeah, I think that makes sense. And if we are maintaining the precautions that the province has rolled out as we slowly phase in reopening, like just walking around today, Jason, like there's hand sanitizer before you walk into any establishment. I went into like five or six different stores. I had to get screened or asked if I had come into contact that I knew someone that may have had symptoms, or did I travel anywhere? So, and this is, again, a small sample size in downtown Edmonton, but if it's any indicator of how serious it's being taken around here, then I think, in general, we're in good hands. So if you were to, say, bring in teams and keep them isolated in ICE District for that quarantine period, which is at 14 days right now, I know the UK, I think it's somewhere around 7 days that they're looking at isolation and self-quarantining. But to me, that the theory behind that idea, it works. At least in my eyes, it's practical. Again, we would have to consult with medical officers to find out if that would actually work. But to me, it sounds sound, to be honest, Griggs.
It was interesting. We had Boyle on from Chicago, the pre- and post-game host, and he outlined the Hawks' blue line. And now they might get Calvin DeHaan back, who had shoulder surgery in December, but Seabrook isn't coming back. They traded away Gustafson, who was really their quarterback on the power play, and even though their power play hasn't been very good, he was the main guy. But after Duncan Keith and maybe Connor Murphy, and I guess if you want to stretch it into Olimata, they don't have a lot of experience on the blue line. Like, that's an area where the Oilers, I think, have a clear advantage, that and down the middle on the,
yeah,
the center ice position.
Well, I was looking at that yesterday when we formally got the announcement that, you know, it's going to be the Oilers and the Hawks. And, you know, obviously when the time comes, we're going to look at the big guns that Chicago has. And that's mostly up front. Yes, Kane. Yes, Taves. And there's been times where DeBrink has been good and Strome's been good as well. They still have Brandon Saad. You know, will Andrew Shaw be healthy and ready to go? He's got Stanley Cup experience as well. And then you go to the back end, and it's like, all right, Duncan Keith, sure. Yes, you mentioned DeHaan, but Adam Boqvist, I know he's a high-end prospect. He's still really young. And you go past that, and you're like, all right, what's Slater Cuckoo? What's Nicholas Beaudoin? I don't know. Have these guys developed into anything significant? No. So if the Oilers, in theory, when the time comes in late July, early August, and they get on the ice in this five-game qualifying round series, if they can expose the Hawks D, that's the recipe for success. And it's interesting too, Greg, because like you got to look back at some of the Oilers' strengths and weaknesses, and you know that Chicago will be trying to at least get to the goaltending that Edmonton has. Will the goaltenders be the same from Mikko Koskinen and Mike Smith, like the same type of play that we witnessed most of the season? Or were those two going to have a dip in their play? Because when we play again, or when we witness these teams playing again, Jason, it's going to be like 4.5 months between games. That's almost like a traditional offseason. So will these teams come in with like a fresh mindset, renewed sense of optimism? That could be big-time factors in this.
Tom Cazzola joins us. You know, the goaltending, of course, for Crawford, that's the wild card, I think, for a lot of teams. How will the goaltending react? Because goaltending in the National Hockey League is rather important. If you don't have it, you have very little chance to win. And if you do have it, well, obviously it increases your chances somewhat. So we'll see as Tom Cazzola joins us. Tom, a few other things around, you know, Major League Baseball right now. And I'll be curious how close the NHL is watching this, because their revenues, obviously half their season's been canceled. So they have no, you know, that's significant drop in revenue, right? No games on TV. There's no season tickets. Nothing. Nothing's been, they haven't taken in any money. Well, I guess they'd have to pay back all the season ticket money they've had. They haven't taken any food and beverage, all that stuff. So they've lost pretty much 100% of their revenue to date. Right now, they could get it back if they play some games and what have you, but they're talking about, you know, wanting players to basically now take would amount to be like a 75% pay cut on the season, because 50% of the season's already over. So they're saying, hey, you split, we'll take the last 50%, and you guys take a pay cut, we're going to take a revenue cut, and away you go. The NHL's got to be closely watching this, because whenever next season begins, it's going to be a similar conversation.
Well, Gregor, I mean, the one thing that baseball doesn't have, it's the last sport in North American, I mean, out of the major pro leagues, like it doesn't have the cap, right? And I think when it comes to baseball, the players are among the most stubborn in all of sports as well. They're well taken care of. Their contracts are guaranteed. And, of course, the National Hockey League is going to watch it all play out. But the way that the MLB seems to be handling this, I thought that they would have to give in a little bit more to the players and the PA. And Tony Clark even made a point of saying, we're not taking any more of a reduction. We negotiated in March. We came to an agreement on some sort of structure and framework as to how, if this season does finally occur, the split and the revenue and the payment plan will be put into place. And now the MLB's come back and they've kind of tinkered with it again. And the players are having none of it. And, you know, the PA took a stance. A month ago, we heard them say that they were taking a stance as the MLB was throwing around ideas for returning to play itself. So that's where it's different. And I feel like that the fact that MLB players are more stubborn generally, are more willing to fight for their money and have more leverage, kind of gives them a leg up on an NHL PA. So this is an interesting time when it comes to the NHL and the NHL PA. I mean, when was the last time we can recall them really working in harmony with one another? Seriously, Jason, like I go back to 94, 95. Like even back then, they hated each other, and it seems like it's just dragged on. And this is the most harmony I've ever seen between the NHL PA and the NHL. So I'm sure they're going to keep an eye on things with the MLB, but I think to some extent it's a bit of a certain different beast.
You think it's different?
MLB?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, but and what, like, if they're asking for a reduction in salary, it's going to be similar to the NHL asking their players. Like, the amount might be different. Like, the overall, hey, if you're going from $30 million to $7 million, sure. But the percentage is likely going to have to be the same. The NHL is going to be taking a massive dip in revenue next year.
Right. And escrow goes up, right? And that's in the CBA. Isn't it?
Yeah. Well, yeah, you're right. It's tied into it. But I think even escrow, I don't believe you can just say escrow goes up and that solves the problem. Right? Like, if your revenue stream are dropping off significantly, right, you can't just say, well, it's only going to be at escrow, right? Like, both sides, I think, are going to have to reestablish, you know, and reestablish a number almost. otherwise, it's, you know, it's, I don't think it's a quick, well, it's just going to be a one. And I believe that the leagues are going to think it's just a quick 1 year dip and then we're going to come right back. Well, look at any financial landscape in the world. That's, it doesn't work like that very rarely. It's not just a one quick blip and you go right back to normal.
So, no, I get that. And listen, the cap will be different next year in that light as well. And, you know, I don't know how they're going to have to figure it out, but I do think that the MLB situation does have its, like, key differences to what the NHL is going to be looking at as well. And they're playing with way more money as well. I'm sure they're going to reference the MLB, but to some extent, Greg, I really think it's a different beast with these two leagues.
Okay. Interesting.
I think reading and seeing how the MLB does things, like it just always seems nasty with the MLB and the NHL, for whatever reason, it seems to be working
the
well.
The league locks out more or has strikes more frequently?
For the first time ever. And that's what I mean by going back 20, 25 years. Like, this is the first time ever it seems like there's some sort of real and genuine common interest between the two to work together. And that's what I mean by that.
Well, we're seeing it now, Tom, because right now the NHL, it's different because the NHL is trying to salvage this season, right?
Right.
Once they get to next year, it's a total different animal, right? Because there's no salary cap in the playoffs, right? Like there's no, you're not asking players to take more reduction. They're not technically getting paid. They're just trying to salvage some of the revenue for the postseason. But right. Once they get to next regular season, man, they're in the exact same boat that the MLB is in right now. And I think based on past history, the NHL, if anything, them and the players have never worked very well together when it comes time to have to look to try to make their finances work. Baseball might have a lot of ugliness, but when was, like, they had the 1994-95 lockout. That's it. They've always found ways to get it done, where the NHL repeatedly will have holdouts. So I'm curious if they can buck that trend in an unprecedented situation where, after having great decades of increased revenue, you're going to have a massive slamming of the door and shutting off the tap of revenue in the NHL.
Right. Well, okay, so the one thing that's happening with MLB and MLBPA, it's creating really bad blood between the two. And I know that down the road when the NHL and the PA have to look at the numbers and the finances going into next season, like you bring up, they don't have that nastiness yet. But and it's a big but, that can turn on a dime. So that's a fair point.
Tom Gazzola joins us on Edmonton Sports Leader TSN 1260. And Tommy, one last one for you. What do you make of the eSports scandal?
Oh, with the Formula E driver?
Yeah, Daniel Abt.
Yeah, how about being a driver for your dad's team for Audi, and all you're asked to do is do an eSport video game race once every weekend or two. And to be funny and to create a viral video, you hire a pro esports driver and get him to fake being you. And then you finish third, which is something you've never really done or aren't well known for, is hitting the podium and then getting busted for it. Like, it's absolutely ridiculous what this Daniel Abt did. He killed his career.
Yeah.
Like, he killed it.
When you sent me the story earlier, I was just like... Like, man, what are you thinking? Everybody knows you're not that good, so you're going to get someone who's clearly better to fill in for you.
Yeah.
Like, oh, awesome.
He hits the podium, so they do these interviews with the three racers over Zoom, and that's how they kind of designate and show that these guys are racing. And while he was, I'm using air quotes, racing, they block the guy's face, the esports pro driver. And then he doesn't show up for the podium interviews. Like, just so stupid, and a calamity of errors one after another, all to, like, create this viral video. And just, like, where are we now in society that we're selling out to do a viral video? to that extent. Or, you know what I mean, Jason? Like, it's insane.
It's a tough one.
Yeah.
Well, I guess, you know, you hate to make a generalizing statement here, but, you know, when daddy's giving him everything, he probably never has the ability to take a situation and look at what the possible consequences could be.
Good point. He tarnished his team's name, his own name, and his dad's name, and just all around stupid, I think we can classify it as.
So e-racing now. Scandals are everywhere, not just in sports, even in e-racing. Tommy, have a good one, man. We'll chat with you tomorrow.
You too, Gregor. Talk to you tomorrow.